people of God said, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for our leadership development. We're asking, Lord, that your word will enrich every life tonight in Jesus' name. Be with everyone as we listen. And we pray, Lord, everything you have for each one, everyone will receive, and there will be beneficial evidence in everyone that today we have heard from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. God bless you. We're coming to the Psalms. Tonight we're looking at Psalm 92 to Psalm 99. Obviously, we'll be selecting some of the verses. And tonight the topic is loving God and serving Him acceptably. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In verse 2, it tells us to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Showing forth the loving kindness of God in the morning and then every night before we go to sleep, we look at what he has done for us, in us, and through us all through the day. And then we offer thanksgiving and love to his faithfulness. Look at Psalm 95 verse 6. In Psalm 95 verse 6, so come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. In verse 7, it says that we're still honoring the Lord and we're focusing on who God is, because he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, then it says in verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. It's revealing who God is to us, and in revealing who God is, he wants us to love him, know him more, love him more, and then we're able to serve him more acceptably. In Psalm 96, reading from verse 7, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. And then in verse 8 it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. Verse 9 tells us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 97 verse 10 tells us, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Is telling us if we're going to serve him acceptably, there is evil, there is sin, there's transgression in the world, there's iniquity. We hate iniquity because we love the Lord. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And now in Psalm 99 verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool, for he is holy. That's our God. He is holy in his attributes, is holy in his actions, is holy in everything he says and everything he does. And because of that, we exalt him. In verse 9, it tells us, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Loving God and serving him acceptably. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, we're remembering the exaltation. We're remembering the exaltation of our God. He's exalted, he's high, is heavenly. And because of that, we remember that every time. We remember that this is God, high, and is the Most High. And because of that exaltation, every need we bring to the Lord, and the praises and the thanksgiving we bring to the Lord, He honors that because we honor His exaltation. Number two is reflecting on the expressions of the godly. We need to reflect on that every time and think about that every time, the expressions of the godly. When you come to the Lord, you leave all sins behind and you leave iniquity behind, and now He changes your life, He changes your heart, He changes your character, He makes you holy, He makes you godly, He makes you righteous, and you are reflecting on what the expression of the life of a godly man, a godly woman ought to be every time. And what you think about is what you become. What you reflect on is what you also reveal in your personal life. And then number three is rejoicing in the extension of His glory. His glory is known to you, and therefore you extend that everywhere. You publicize that everywhere, and you share that everywhere. As we share His glory, that is, we are talking about His glory, and then other people get that, and they too will say it and express it to other people. Because of that, the joy of the Lord is spreading. You are rejoicing in the extension of the glory of the Lord. Let's come to number one. Number one is remembering the exaltation of our God. In Psalm 92, I'm reading from verse 5. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. And then in verse 8, it tells us, but Thou, Lord, art most high forever. Exaltation of our God is most high from everlasting to everlasting. He is most high, and we remember that every time. In Psalm 93 verse 1, Psalm 93 verse 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He has girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. That's how mighty and powerful our God is. It says in verse 2, Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Always remember that whenever you come to God, you come to God in praise, you come to God in prayer, He is exalted. And because of that exaltation, you know He is above all people, above all laws, above all principalities and powers. He's been like that from everlasting. It will continue to be like that until everlasting. Psalm 95, reading from verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He mentions salvation there for you to understand that people who are praising God and whose praises and service are acceptable unto Him, the people who are saved, the people who are children of God, the people who by the grace of God now have a clean life, a righteous life, and a holy life. And now we can offer our praises to the rock of our salvation. It tells us in verse 2, and it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms. In verse 3, it tells us, for the Lord is a great God. That's our God. For the Lord is a great God. Don't belittle our God by looking down on what He can do or what He can accomplish, even in your life, anytime and every time. Understand, whenever you come to the Lord, you are coming to a great God. You are coming to a mighty God. You are coming to the Most High God. You are coming to a God that cannot fail. And you are coming to a God that will solve every problem and remove every mountain. Because of that, understand, the Lord is a great God. And had a great king above all gods. I pray the Lord will give us the consciousness of his greatness every time we come before him in Jesus' name. Let me hear a good amen. There are three things we're looking at here. Number one, the indisputable creator of all. Indisputable, unarguable creator of all. Number two, the impartial judge of all. And number three is the interminable dominion, the interminable dominion over all. He has authority over all. He reigns over all. And that cannot be terminated. And it's like that forever and ever over all. Let's look at number one, the indisputable creator of all. We're told in Psalm 95 verse 5, it says, the sea is his. And he made it, is the creator, is the maker. His hands formed the dry land. All over, in all the continents, the Lord created everything. And then it says in verse 6, it tells us, oh come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. He's our maker, he's our creator. And then it says in verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. That tells us then, this is our creator, and that you cannot argue against. Indispensable, indisputable, creator of all. Look at Psalm 96, I'm reading from verse 4. It says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Then in verse 5, it says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord made the heavens. Is the creator of all. In Isaiah chapter 14, reading from verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, that same God, is the Lord, is the creator of the ends of the earth. The creator of the ends of the earth. And then he tells us, he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. Now, every part of the Bible tells us that God is the creator. But you know, when Christ himself, the very Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who abides in the truth and who always tells the truth, and he knew from everlasting to everlasting, he knows God the Father because of the eternal Son of God. When he tells us that God created the earth, that should settle every question in your mind. In Mark chapter 13, reading from verse 19. Mark chapter 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, talking about the time of the great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the creation. Here is what I want you to notice. The beginning of the creation, which God created, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. It tells us then conclusively that God is the creator of the whole universe. It is indisputable. Look at number two now. Number two, we're looking at the impartial judge of all. Is the creator of all. And he has given his creation, his creatures, all the commandments, and everything they ought to do, and what we ought to be. And now he evaluates, he examines, and he judges the actions of all men. And this leads us to the point that we understand is the judge. And this judge is impartial, the impartial judge of all. In Psalm 94, reading from verse 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. And then in verse 2, it says, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Thou judge of the earth. All nations of the earth, all people of the earth, whether they are Christian or any other religion, he is the final judge. Thou judge of the earth, of the centuries past, of this century, and of centuries to come, all people that live on this earth, he is the judge of everyone. Render a reward to the proud. It tells us in Psalm 96, reading from verse 10, it says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Don't have the understanding or don't have the idea. He only reigns on Israel. It goes beyond that. He only reigns on those who are believers, Christians. It goes beyond that. Say among the heathen then that the Lord reigneth, the world also shall be established that it cannot, it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people, all the heathen, all the Gentiles, all the Jews, everyone, everywhere. He shall judge the people righteously. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh, and he cometh to judge the earth. The whole earth, please remember that everyone that has lived on this earth, everyone that will ever live on this earth, even you, even me, he is the judge of the whole earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And we're told in Romans chapter 2, we're looking at verse 6, as the Old Testament has affirmed that God is judge, the New Testament is now reminding us he's not only judge, he is impartial in his judgment. He has a standard. And whether you are in this church or that other church, or you don't even belong to any church at all, that standard of judgment is what God will apply because he is the impartial judge. In Romans chapter 2, reading from verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every man high, every man low, every man religious, every man irreligious, every man everywhere, all through the times of our sojourn here on earth, God will render to every man according to his deeds. Look at verse 7. It says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, after you have been saved by the grace of God, after you come into the family of God, and now heaven knows you, recognizes you as a child of God, and then you continue in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And then in verse 8 it says, but unto them that are contentious, they argue against their salvation. Unto them that are contentious, they argue against the standard laid down by God. Unto them that are contentious, they compare the maxims of the world with the message of the word of God. And it says, those who are argumentative and contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be indignation and wrath. And then in verse 9, it says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man. You see that? There is nobody that is exempted from the judgment of God. He is the judge, is the impartial judge of all. And it says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. And then in verse 12, it tells, verse 10, it tells about glory and honor and peace to every man that walketh good. And remember, we cannot walk good without grace. We cannot live righteously without the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into the grace of God and we come into the kingdom of God, we're born again, we become new creatures in Christ. All things pass away, all things become new. And the mark of the grace of God is in our lives. And then glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And then in verse 11, it tells us, for there is no respect of persons with God. Impartial, impartial. There is no respect of persons with God. Verse 12 tells us, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. I don't know whether you've heard of people that have said, I don't want to go to that church where they teach the Bible, because if I know and I don't do, then I'll become guilty. But if I'm ignorant, ignorance is not an excuse. A person may close his mind, he may close his heart to the truth of the word of God, and he will say, I don't want to hear that, because if I don't hear, then I'm free. If I don't hear, then I'm at liberty. The word of God says, no, those who have sinned in ignorance, there is the law of God, there is the Bible in everybody's hand, they'll still be judged. For as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, when God shall judge the secrets of men, all men, somebody says, I'm not a Christian. You are a creature of God, you'll still be judged by Christ. Somebody says, I could not read, and because I couldn't read, all the same, Christ has been put as the judge over all. And it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, all men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, remember, without respect of persons, is impartial. It's impartial. You cannot say you're a favorite of God, and because you're a favorite of God, you disobey, dishonor, contradict the word of God. He is a God that is without respect of persons. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Let's look at number three now. Number three is the interminable dominion over all. The dominion of God cannot be terminated over all, whether it's on Babylon, or it's on Greece, or it's Middle Persia, or it's the Gentiles, anywhere, everywhere, anytime, every time. The dominion of God is forever, and it is over all. His interminable dominion over all. We're looking at Psalm 93, verse 1. Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. He's never tired. He's clothed with strength. You cannot say, well, I come in now and God is going to deal with all the things I've done. But God has judged so many people. He's tired now. He'll just pass over quickly. Never. Because he reigns and is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Psalm 96, reading from verse 10, it says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth continuously. He reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. he shall judge the people righteously. The people, he has dominion over everyone. Psalm 97, we're looking at verse 1. The Lord reigneth the earth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. In Psalm 145, verse 13, Psalm 145, reading from verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. He rules as king. He rules as the ruler over all the earth, and it's an everlasting domain. And thy domain, thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. It's in charge and it's in control, and whatever may be happening, whether on the right or on the left, he has dominion over all in all generations. Look at Daniel chapter 7, reading from verse 14. And there was given him dominion. The Son had come to the Father. The Son of God, Son of Man, came to the Ancient of Days, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. All people in every generation should have the understanding that God is a creator, God is the judge, and God has an everlasting dominion. And because of that, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I pray that as you have known the Lord as the creator and as the judge and the one that has everlasting dominion, you'll grant him appropriate worship, appropriate love, appropriate obedience, appropriate submission, so that on the final day, when God shall judge the works of all men, you'll be told, well done. You believed the Lord, you obeyed the gospel, and great will be your reward in Jesus' name. And then to help the people that do not know what you know, what I know, what we know, that we take this to them. Most people believe there is a God somewhere in heaven, but they think that he is detached from us, and therefore they do whatever they can do. Go to everyone and let everyone know that God is the creator of all, and everyone is a creature of the Lord, and every creature is responsible unto him, to know what he has said, to know what he has revealed, and to know how he wants us to live, and that he has sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And what we do concerning Jesus Christ, he will judge on that final day, and God is the impartial judge. And if we submit to him now with absolute surrender to have dominion over us, we will rejoice for all eternity. I will rejoice for all eternity. Recognize his dominion today and submit unto him, and then you will not pass through damnation. You will not go through damnation in Jesus' name. We're looking at number two, which is the reflecting on the expressions of the godly. The godly are the righteous. The godly are the gracious. The godly are the people that have come to the Lord and they have received the grace of God. They have also received the commandment of the Lord, and they walk like that. It tells us in Psalm 92, reading from verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Understand, it's comparing man, whether righteous or not righteous, is referring to man as a tree, like the picture of a tree. If the tree is going to flourish so that we can see it publicly, openly, its roots must go into the ground. If we're going to bear any fruit as the righteous people of God, our root must be in Christ. When we're so attached to Christ, and then we're receiving grace and nutrients nutrients from the Lord so that we can flourish like the palm tree and we can grow like a cedar in Lebanon. It tells us in verse 13, it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord and they're rooted and grounded in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If anybody should be like that, it's us who are workers, us who are leaders, and we're here in the general Bible study. We're here in the leadership development. We're there on Thursday revival time. And we're there on Saturday. We're there on Sunday. We're planting and we're rooted in the house of the Lord. And then our lives should justify all that God is imputing and planting into our lives, that we flourish in the courts of our God. It tells us in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. What do you think? A person who has been reading the Bible, studying the Bible from an earlier age, and then you keep on reading the Bible, you have better understanding, you have greater faith, and you have greater understanding of the revelation of the Word of God. And the older you become, the more knowledgeable you are, and the wiser you are, and the more devoted you are, and the more consecrated you are, obviously, you'll be bringing forth fruit. It means that your older days, if you are 40 now, you are older than when you were 30. If you are 50 now, you are older than when you were 35. And as you are growing in the Lord, you are building up. And if you overcame anger, and you overcame hatred, and you overcame all those works of the flesh 20 years ago, as you are knowing the Lord more, and you are having more of the grace of God in your life, that fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit should be increasing in your life. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And then it says in verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. Your life will show that. Your behavior will show that. Your actions will show that, demonstrate that. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 97, we're looking at verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Those two parts of the sentence, they go together. If you really love the Lord, you will hate what God hates, and he hates evil. He hates sin. He hates transgression. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. He will always deliver you. He will always deliver me out of the hand of the wicked. The wicked will not have the final say in your life. God has spoken good concerning you, and no evil personality will have any dominion over your life, over my life, over our lives, over our church in Jesus' name. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. In verse 12, it says, rejoice in the Lord. It's so difficult and almost impossible to rejoice outside the Lord. When Satan is pursuing somebody outside the Lord, when the demons are pressing them outside the Lord, and when the vicissitudes of life, when they swallow them up outside the Lord, how can they rejoice? But when you are in the Lord, and the Lord is in control, is protecting your life, and it determines where you will be tomorrow, and your hand or your life is not in the hand of the Lord, you can rejoice. You will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We're coming to three things here. Number one, the fruitfulness of the faithful. Number two, the fullness in his fellowship. Number three, the freshness of our faith. Number one is the fruitfulness of the faithful. The fruitfulness of the faithful. Already we have read Psalm 92, reading from 12, verse 12 to verse 15. Let's look at Psalm 1 now. In Psalm 1, we're reading from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is planted in the house of the Lord. He is rooted in the word of God, and is overshadowed by the love of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Then in verse 3, we are told that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You will bear fruit. Every season of life, you'll bear fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord will make the work of your hand to prosper. He'll make the ministry of the word to prosper in your life in Jesus' name. And look at Matthew chapter 7. We're reading from verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You know every tree by the fruit it bears. You know the man by the fruit it bears. And you know the woman by the root she bears. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Is he saved? You know by the fruits. Is he sanctified? You'll know by the fruits. Is he empowered, baptized in the Holy Ghost? You know by the fruit. Is he studying the scriptures? Is he a student of the scripture? Is he a person that is saturated with scripture? Don't listen to what he says. Look at his fruit. You know them by their fruits. Are they false prophets? You know them by their fruits. They wicked people, you know them by their fruits. Are they unrighteous? Are they ungodly? Are they unholy? You will know them by their fruits. It's not enough to say, I'm saved, I'm born again. Keep quiet. We will see your fruit, and we know you by your fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then in verse 17, it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every child of God brings forth good fruit. Every new creature, every converted person brings forth good fruit. Everyone that has been touched and transformed and turned around by the power of the gospel brings forth good fruit. It's even so, every good tree. You cannot say, I am saved, but you cannot see the fruit. Well, see if you're really saved. I'm sanctified, but you cannot tell by my behavior. You cannot tell by my action. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If you are corrupt in your heart, if you are corrupt in your tongue, if you are corrupt in your habit, if you are corrupt in your plans, if you are corrupt in your disposition, it will show in the fruit. You will bring forth evil fruit. And then in verse 18, it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A saved soul cannot bring forth continual habitual sinning. A sanctified soul cannot bring forth habitual selfishness, self-centeredness, because a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And then in verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down, and cast into the fire. And then in verse 20, it tells us, ye shall know them by their fruits. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Fruits of righteousness will come forth, and the fruits of godliness will come forth when you have been transformed by the Lord, and then you are committed and given and submissive to doing the will of God. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How do we do that will of the Father? In Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground, the ones that have the seed of the word falling on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, honest and good heart, those who are not saved are dishonest hearts, those who are not born again are bad, evil hearts. But when you are born again, you become a real child of God. There's the work of grace that is done inside your heart, inside your nature. And then you have an honest heart, a good heart, having heard the word. It's not enough that the heart will be good, that the heart will be honest. It's like when we tell the farmer, the soil is good, the land is good. It is not enough that the land is good. The seed must come onto that ground. The seed must be planted in that good soil before fruit can come out. The same thing, our heart already cleansed, our hearts already good. That's not enough. The seed of the word must be planted there so that we'll bring forth fruit. Having had the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, and bring forth fruit with perseverance. We're coming to number two here. Number two is the fullness in his fellowship. The fullness in his fellowship. He tells us in Psalm 16, reading from verse 11, that will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. When fellowship with the Lord is called us by the sacrifice of Christ, is called us by our faith in Christ, and we come into fellowship with the Lord in his presence, there's fullness of joy. You wonder about the people that say they are very prayerful, they are very studious, they read the Bible every time, they study the word of God every time, they even testify, confess, I'm a child of God. But we don't see the joy of believing, and the joy of following after the Lord, the joy of being in the presence of God. They are thinking of the wrong thing. And because they are thinking of negative thing, their heart is sinking every time. And therefore, they don't express the joy of the Lord. But thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore in your life. There will be pleasures forevermore. There'll be joy forevermore. And there'll be the blessings of the Lord multiplied in your life forevermore in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 94. We're reading from verse 20. Psalm 94, verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? That frameth, which frameth mischief by a law. Is saying, if we're going to have fellowship with the Lord, we must do away with iniquity in all forms, in all shades and meaning, anywhere they're coming from, because the throne of iniquity will not have fellowship with him. Those who frame mischief by a law, in verse 21, they gather themselves, those who have iniquity, together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. In verse 22, it says, but the Lord is my defense. You are in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And then in verse 23, it says, and it shall bring upon them their own iniquity. Those who fellowship with iniquity, and they are not fellowshipping clean, clear, from with the Almighty and the Holy One. He shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I pray you'll not have any part among them in Jesus' name. That's what we're told what to do. If we're going to remain in fellowship with the Lord, if we're going to enjoy the fellowship with the Lord, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're in fellowship with God, then you run away and you depart from all the assembly of the righteous. It says, for what fellowship has unrighteousness with, or has righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion, what agreement, what fellowship has light with darkness? In verse 15, it says, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16 then says, it says in verse 16, what agreement as the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a great privilege that God says he'll be with us, he'll walk in us, he will dwell with us, and we will be his people. To make that possible, it says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I am a child of God. I said, I am a child of God, and the inheritance of the children of God will be upon your life in Jesus' name. In 1 John chapter 1, reading from verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. We declare unto you that which we have heard from the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning. And as we declare it unto you, you accept and you believe and you live according to that which you have heard from the beginning. Then you will have fellowship with us. And truly, a fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, it tells us, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. These things write we unto you, that, tell me, what if you have what is written unto you and you don't read? We write unto you that you will read. What if you hear, but you don't meditate on what you are hearing? You just hear, it goes in one ear and passes out the other ear. And you do not meditate, and you do not consecrate yourself to obey and to do. The joy will not be there. These things were right unto you that you will reach. These things were right unto you that you will hear. These things were right unto you that you will heed and believe and obey. And it is in that reading, it is that accepting, it is that applying it to your life that makes your joy to be full. And then it says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no secrecy. In him is no hiding place for evil. In him is no darkness at all. And then in verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He makes us free, he'll make you free. Number three here is the freshness of our faith. The freshness of our faith. We're trusting him every time. Every day we come with fresh faith. And that fresh faith makes us to have freshness in our Christian life and in our Christian profession. It says in Psalm 94, reading from verse 8, understand, ye British among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? If we are wise, we keep on trusting in the Lord who can never fail. In verse 9, it tells us that he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Don't you understand? He gave us ears to hear. He who created the ear, will he not hear? Every time you call, he will answer. Every time you cry, he will see your tears. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He will see what you are going through. And even tonight, if there's any deep waters there that you are passing through, it will dry them up. And then in verse 10, it says, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He chastises the heathen. You see, the heathen people, they are indifferent to God. And they think they are independent of God. They say, I'm the master of my captain. I'm the sole controller of my life. Not knowing that some things that happen to them as sinners, the Lord orchestrates those things. He chastises the heathen. Shall he not correct? If he chastises the heathen who have not heard the word of God in full, shall he not correct the ones who say they are children of God and they are hearing the word of God every time? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? And then in verse 11, it tells us, it says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Men who think like Jonah, they can run away from God and they can get to a place where God will not see them or judge their action. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And then it tells us in verse 12, blessed be is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. In verse 14-13, it says, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Are you there? Rest from all adversity. Adversity in your place of work, adversity in your personal life, the time of resting and freedom has now come. Until the pitch be digged for the wicked. And then in verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people. The Lord will not cast you off. The Lord will not forsake you. When you are weak, when you are feeble, when you are confused, when you are at a crossroad, the Lord will not cast you off. He will come, he will comfort you. He will care for you. He'll have compassion on you. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Look at Psalm 40 verse 4. In Psalm 40 verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Maketh, continuous tense, maketh every time the Lord his trust. Is always having faith in God, confidence in God, trust in God, and because of that, he's fresh every time. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. In verse 5, it says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. And that's why we need to have fresh faith and fresh trust and fresh confidence in God, and the freshness of your Christian life will appear to everyone because your faith is fresh every day. The freshness of the presence of the Lord will be upon your life throughout in Jesus' name. And then in verse 6, it tells us, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And then in verse 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. In verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Such a person will be fresh in the Lord every time. Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 10. Romans chapter 10, we're reading from verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Believeth, believeth. You're believing every time with your heart. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 11, it says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth, always believing, continually believing, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. No problem, no situation will bring shame in your life in Jesus' name. Always believing, always believing. In Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. There is faith at the beginning. There is faith that continues, and there is faith at the end. All through our lives, we keep on believing, keep on believing, keep on believing. A challenge comes, we keep on believing the promises. Some situation comes in our personal lives, we keep on believing, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God, he that keeps coming to God must believe. The moment you come to God for anything, you must believe that he's hearing you. You're offering praises to the Lord, believe he's hearing you and he's going to respond. You're offering prayer, petition to the Lord. Anytime you come, he that cometh to God, not he that came and then is finished coming, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is still there. He has not changed. He is the impartial God. He answered other people. He will answer your prayer too. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me point something out to you in verse 27. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Look at this. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Every time you do what you do, you endure. You pray him, you act out his word, you confess his word, you accept his word, you hold on to the promise as if you were seeing the invisible. As if the invisible God is right there in your presence and say, thank you, Lord, I know you have heard me, I don't have to shout, I know you have answered my prayer, I will see the result. You are talking to God and you are praying to God and you are living for God as if you see the invisible one. Your life will be fresh, and the power of God will always be fresh in your life, will always be fresh in my life. The Lord confirm it for you in Jesus' name. You are going to go from strength to strength and from power to power. And the goodness of God will never stop in your life in Jesus' name. Point number three now. Point number three, rejoicing in the extension of his glory. We're looking at Psalm 96 and we're reading from verse 3. We're rejoicing, you will rejoice. I said you will rejoice. Psalm 96, we're looking at verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Don't ever be ashamed of the glory of God. Anywhere you are, declare that glory and declare his wonders among all people. In verse 4, he tells us, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, for he is to be feared above all gods. In verse 5, it tells us, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are his in his sanctuary. Verse 7 tells us, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. In verse 8, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. And then we're told in verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, all the earth. In Psalm 97 verse 6, it tells us, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Look at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. That's already done. In verse 11, it says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Verse 12 tells us, rejoice in the Lord. Anybody rejoice in the Lord here today? Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the extinction of our own glory. We don't seek glory for ourselves. We don't pursue glory for ourselves. The extinction of our own glory. Number two, the expression of only his glory. The expression of only his glory. Number three, our existence for only his glory. That's the reason we live. That's why we're still here on earth. Our existence for only his glory. Number one is the extinction of our own glory. It tells us in John chapter 7 verse 18. John chapter 7 verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. The Lord said, the people who are always blowing their trumpet, I am this, I have this, I did this, I went there, I planted that, I raised up that, and they're seeking their own glory. They're not seeking the glory of God. He's telling us, if we're going to be like him, we seek the glory of the Father who has sent us into the world here, and then there'll be no unrighteousness in us. The extinction of our own glory. Look at chapter 3, verse 30. John, chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. At all times, we're seeking the glory of him who has saved us. Without him, we are nothing. We're seeking the glory of the one who has sanctified us. We're seeking the glory of him who has chosen us to be his servants. Without him, we couldn't have been able to do anything that was done. He must increase and I must decrease. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21, therefore let no man glory in man, in men. Let no man glory in a man like himself, a woman like himself, or all other men, all other women. Therefore let no man glory in anyone, for all things are yours. In chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man, no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Let self-glory vanish. Let bragging, boasting, let each vanish. And let, pumping up yourself and puffing up yourself, let it all vanish. The extinction of our own glory. Number two is the expression of only his glory. Whatever we say, whenever we say it, we're only thinking of his glory. And look at Psalm 96, reading from verse 8. Psalm 96, verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. If he covers the whole universe, if he is the creator of the whole universe, if without him nothing was made that was made, if he is all in all, if he has dominion forever and ever, then all the glory should be due unto him. We should not be sharing his glory and then partaking of the glory and say, yes, God has seen me, but I, this is what I did. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. We're looking at number three now. In number three, we're looking at our existence for only his glory. We exist only for the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 43, we're looking at verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, everyone that is called by my name, you say, I'm saved because of the grace of God. Everyone that is called by my name, I'm saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Everyone that is called by my name, I am saved because of the drawing power of the Holy Ghost that drew me into the kingdom of God. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have created him not for his own glory and not for the glory of the world. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. As the Lord has made us, created us, and recreated us, redeemed us, and saved us only for his glory, we will always remember I exist only for the glory of God. We're looking at John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's our Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are saved by him, and we're saved for the purpose of glorifying God, we shall say, I am come into the kingdom not to seek my own will, but the will of him that sent me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're reading from verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God every moment, in every action, in every utterance of your mouth, in everything you do, in the private, in the public. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at chapter 10, verse 31. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all, every time, do all in the church, outside the church, in your home, your place of work, anything you do, whatsoever you do, do all. Tell me out aloud. Tell me as if you believe that. do all to the glory of God. May God give every one of us that grace to do all things at all times, in every way, and in every method, everything possible to do all to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. He's spoken to us today, and he's reminded us of his greatness and of his goodness. And he wants us to remember that all the time. And then the more we know God, the more we love him, and the more we serve him acceptably. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you. I know you more today. I know you are the great God. I know you are the everlasting God. I know you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And because you are the mighty creator, and no other person, no human joined you, you are the sole creator of heaven and earth. Lord, I glorify you. Lord, I love you. And for creating me and then recreating me for my salvation, Lord, I give the glory to you. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I exalt you. Lord, I magnify you because of who you are. Whatever is happening around me here, whatever is happening around the world, I know that you are in charge. And Lord, I thank you because I know that you are the judge, the impartial judge, the impartial judge of all actions, the impartial judge of all situations, and the impartial judge of every man, and my impartial judge. I have heard the gospel, and I know that those who have heard the gospel, you're going to judge them on the final day by the gospel that we have heard. Thank you, Lord, because you have revealed unto me your mind, and you have shown me the standard by the which you will judge the world. I thank you, Lord. I exalt you for counting me worthy and calling me and putting me into the kingdom at such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, because you have reminded me that you have dominion. Dominion over every man, dominion over every woman, dominion over the righteous, dominion over the righteous, dominion over everyone. I thank you for reminding me that I need to submit to your dominion, because you reign forever and ever, and your word reigns forever and ever, and your plan, your program reigns forever and ever. Tell the Lord that she has made you to be a partaker of such knowledge that we're serving the indisputable God, and that we're serving the impartial judge, and we're serving the interminable one that has dominion. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, and then surrender yourself and submit yourself to the dominion of this everlasting God, almighty God, all-powerful God, the omnipotent God, that he has shown you ahead of time. This is how he will judge the world, and this is how he will judge every man. And he has given you the knowledge right now. You are telling the Lord, oh Lord, help me to be wise, help me to be reasonable, help me to give myself completely unto you. He will do it, he will do it. And then tell the Lord, as the grace of God has come into your life, and the power of the Spirit of God has overshadowed you and also overwhelmed you, that God will help you to be faithful and to be fruitful. If you are faithful, you are going to be fruitful, because he said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you, and I've ordained you and put you in place that you will bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain. The fruitfulness of the faithful, that God will make you faithful in little things and make you fruitful in great things, and that faithfulness will result in fruitfulness in your life. You remember, the tree is known by the fruit it bears. The fruit you bear, the fruit of gentleness, and the fruit of love, and the fruit of the grace of God, and the fruit of the presence of God in your life. tell the Lord, oh Lord, help me that I will show and demonstrate the kind of person I am, saved, the kind of person I am, sanctified, the kind of person I am, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that position in the Lord, that privilege in the Lord, will bring forth fruit in my life as a faithful believer. And the Lord will grant you also, He will grant you the freshness of faith every time you're in the presence of God. And in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, that God will help you, that will be fresh every time. Your trust in the Lord, fresh and present. And your confidence and your trust and your faith, your believing the Lord, all the promises of the Lord, fresh in your life. And because of that, your Christian life is fresh, and your Christian activity is fresh, and your Christian devotion is fresh, and everything is fresh in your life. Tell the Lord that the Lord will help you, that the freshness of the Lord, that the goodness of the Lord will be fresh from day to day, ever present and continuously. The Lord will accomplish that in your life. Tell the Lord that the Lord Himself will help you, that you're abiding in the Lord, your faithfulness in the Lord will never diminish and will never go back at all, will never go up, always fresh in the presence of the Lord and the power of God, always fresh in your life. If the faith is fresh, the power will be fresh, the possibilities will be fresh, and the output of your life will be fresh. Tell the Lord and say, Lord, make me fresh every time in your grace, in your goodness, in your power, in everything you do in my life. Make me fresh every time. And then tell the Lord that you will rejoice always, rejoicing always because of who God is in your life. And then you are rejoicing because of the glory of God, that anywhere you are, in anything you are doing, anyone you are interacting with, that His glory will be the uppermost in your heart, the extinction of your own personal glory. Extinction of your own personal glory. You are not seeking your own glory, and you are not seeking the glory for yourself. I am this, I do this, I can do this, I get there, I lift that, I push that, I create that. The extinction of man's glory. You will not glorify yourself, neither will you glorify other people around you, lifting them up and forgetting God. Without Christ, you couldn't have been saved. So just rejoice in the Lord. And without His word, you couldn't have been this enlightened. So just glorify the Lord and understand that you are here in the kingdom at such a time like this to extend His glory, to expand His glory, and to make the glory of God go from person to person and from place to place, that you will be a partaker of the people that extend the glory of God. You are here for the extension of His glory. In our evangelism, you are for the extension of His glory. In a proclamation of the word, you are for the extension of His glory. And in counseling people, and in praying for people, in helping people, in lifting up people, you are for the extension of the glory of God. In your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in the private, in the public, anything you do, whatsoever it is, you exist only for the glory of God. These people have I formed for myself. You are formed for the Lord. And because you are formed for the Lord, they shall show forth my praise. You will show forth the goodness of God. You will show forth the greatness of God. You will show forth the glory of God. All in heaven and all on earth shall give glory to God. And you, because now you know that every detail of your life, every part of your life will be showing glory and giving glory unto the Lord. I exist only for the glory of God. I exist only for the gospel, propagation of the gospel. I exist only that I'll bring other people to magnify God, to know God, to love God, to worship God, and to serve Him more. That's what you exist for. And let the Lord know that now you surrender everything in your life, that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, anytime or anywhere, it will be to glorify God. You let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works, your gracious works, and they will see the fruit of salvation in your life, and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Tell the Lord, wheel your life back to the Lord again. Surrender your life back to the Lord again. Give that life back to the Lord again and say, this is all I have, and I give the glory that is due unto you. I give everything back to you. Tell the Lord, nothing will turn you back. Nothing will slow you down. Nothing will change your conviction, your commitment, your consecration. Everything is yielded and surrendered unto the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name because you have revealed who you are to us. We knew this before, but Lord, you have revealed afresh again that you are our creator, and that you are the final judge, and that you have dominion over everyone, believer, unbeliever, over the heathen, over the righteous. You have the final authority. Lord, help us to always realize that this is who you are. I will give you all the honor. I will give you all the reverence. I will give you all the respect. I will give you the place, the position which you put here every time, every day of our lives, in Jesus' name. You have promised us that even as we are growing older and older, that our fruit will be blossoming and that we'll be happy and flourishing. We're asking, O Lord, in the kingdom of God, in the court of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, and everywhere in your creation, we'll be bringing for fruit unto you in Jesus' name. And you have said every work of our hand will bear fruit. And we pray that all the fruits we ought to bear, that will bring it forth every time in our lives, in Jesus' name. We pray that everywhere we go, and whatever may be happening, any mountain there, any valley there, any river uncrossable there, any crossroad over there, we have fresh faith in you every time. And we know that our faith in you will never fail. Therefore, Lord, we're praying as we have faith in you in every situation and every time, we're asking the freshness of the provision of God, the providence of God, and the power of God will be manifest in every one of our lives every time, in Jesus' name. We're praying that everything that happens to us will bring glory unto you. And Lord, we know already and we confess that Satan will not have the final say in any of our lives. Demons will not have the final say in any of our lives. Evil spirit, evil powers of darkness will not have the final say in any of our lives, in Jesus' name. Those who are in any dungeon, any imprisonment, any captivity of whatever shape, Lord, I pray, bring them out in Jesus' name. Rebuke the heathen for your people, and rebuke the wicked on behalf of your people in Jesus' name. Bring your people to the plain ground, to the top of the mountain in sunshine, so that, Lord, they'll have the chance to glorify you more. Help us, Lord, to be so humble. Help us to be so subdued and so submissive unto you, where we'll not seek our glory anytime, in Jesus' name. We will extend your glory. We'll expand your glory. And we will make your glory visible everywhere in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray by the preaching of the gospel, by edifying the church, by helping people who are down and lifting them up, will exist only for your glory. Everything we do, everything we see, everywhere we go, everything that we partake of, a fellowship anywhere, it will be to lift up your glory in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, for answered prayer, you'll be glorified in every life. For miracles, signs, and wonders, be glorified in every life. And for courage and confidence to go through life, knowing that we're going to be triumphant and victorious, be glorified in every life, in Jesus' name. Prove yourself a compassionate Father. Prove yourself a caring Father. And prove yourself a mighty God to everyone, in Jesus' name. We pray, O Lord, the joy of the Lord will be the strength of everyone. And your people will have something positively, practically, purposefully to rejoice for every day of their lives, in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say unto you, rejoice. May the joy of the Lord never stop in your life, in Jesus' name. Lord, confirm it for everyone, even tonight and henceforth, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.